There was a meme that came out on, you know, I don't know, Facebook or Instagram or something. And it said, it's that time of year again. Anyone under 5'3", it is now time to report to the North Pole.
I saw
that. And I sent that to Wes and our superintendent. So the superintendent and the principal, I've sent it to them. I said, I've been called to active duty. I'm going to need some time off.
Yeah, I've been called up from out of reserves. And Santa needs me. I got to go.
I got to go. I have a choice.
I love it.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Everybody to episode 165 of Designer Cornbread Podcast. We are so glad you are here, aren't we, Joni B?
You are just thrilled and overjoyed.
Really? Are those new glasses?
These are the ones that I bought in Eureka Springs.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've seen you wear those. All of a sudden you looked a little different.
Let me fix myself in the camera there.
Go right ahead. I had to stick on this sparkly headband because there was no hope. There was no hope. So I'm trying to distract you.
Well, it is December and we are in the midst of it. Let's just say.
We're in it. I'm almost like to the slap happy mode.
Yes.
I mean, which is good, which is better than, you know, want to cut people and throat punch people mode. So
put yourself in time out like last week.
I didn't know I was much better this week. Although I have to say, I did not leave the house all week until Friday. We got home from our epic blizzard drive tour of Missouri on Monday. And I did not leave the house till I had to on Friday. I'm like, I have to go. I have to do check the booth and do a few things, a few errands. And I've lived in this How the Grinch Stole Christmas and my green stretchy pants that were my favorite last week. This is just what I've worn all week. So I put on the sparkle headband for you. That's all you get. But it's been good. I mean, I didn't want to go anywhere. I was good to go, and I started on some Christmas. You know, I didn't have anything done decorating wise, so I did that. I think I've given myself like carpal tunnel though from stapling. I decided I needed to make some paper chains for my coffee hot cocoa area because I love paper chains. Do we not love paper chains?
Yeah, they're great.
I think they are. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed every year. It's one of those decorations. It like takes me back to childhood, but like they're so cute and like vintage and just sort of festive, but in a really low key.
They are very vintage.
Yeah, but yeah. Just like in a low key way. But right. I decided I needed to make a triple strand situation, not low key.
What color did you do?
Okay. So I did, So last year and so forth, I started collecting, holly, Lefton is a certain brand, but like the dark green holly berry with a little red berry, vintage, ceramic pieces. There's dishes and there's a, you know, different little pieces. And I just started collecting a few of those because I was like, I really like, I'm not usually a big red and green person, but there's just something so, again, nostalgic and like classic about it. And my name's Holly. So I'm like, I think I need me some holly stuff. So holly I did jolly. That.
Hmm? It's a holly jolly Christmas.
It's going to be holly jolly. And I found some good, anyway, some holly plates from Hobby Lobby last year that I decided. So I decided to do my breakfast room and coffee cocoa area. Anyway, all that, you know, red and green and all that. So I needed paper chains. So I did, like, I had some scrapbooking paper, Christmas themed. I'd gotten, you know, years ago. I just went in there and grabbed that, cut that up and made big chains with that. And then I did some smaller size, anyway, chains of an all just red construction paper and then one of green construction paper. I mean, I went old school, just dug around in my craft closet.
Good.
Got my paper cutter out and put my Christmas music on, and just that's what I did, was make paper chains. But I think I used a staple. You know, a lot of times I've used tape, but I thought I have a bunch of staples, and I'm like, that's got to be easier than the tape, you know, and it'll stay together better. But I think I done giving myself carpal tunnel.
Christmas is hard.
You guys, I think I'm injured. So well, anyway.
I have done all the Christmas cheer. I am up in Christmas cheer.
Oh, yay. So,
I know. I did. My house is pretty well decorated. I'm just not doing a whole lot. It's different.
But it's done and you can be happy now.
That's right.
Oh, I love it.
And so, but then Tuesday night, I went to our little high school chorus Christmas concert.
Oh,
great. And then Wednesday we had church and, you know, and all the stuff.
Yeah.
And, but then it is Christmas in Maine, is in full swing.
That's right.
We walked up Friday, we walked around and the old, you know, that old Presbyterian church.
Yes.
There on the corner by the park.
My favorite one. Yes.
The city has bought it. And so all the little Christmas singers were in there.
Oh.
And they put a carousel up at the Tennessee Street Park.
My goodness, y'all, it is a Hallmark movie. People, they have a pavilion, they have a gazebo, they have a city hall. They got it all.
It was the lighting of the Christmas tree, you know, and so we went for the official lighting of the tree and the whole, I mean, they've got carriage rides and little train rides and skating rink down there. And so we made up our little hot chocolate and went. And tonight, last week was supposed to be the Christmas parade, but it got rained out. Oh. So tonight is the Christmas parade.
Oh my goodness. Y'all, there's just something every other day for you to be Christmassy.
It is. And it feels good.
That is lovely. And you didn't have to be in charge of any of it. No. You just have to show up.
And that's such a good feeling.
It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Well, that sounds absolutely perfect.
It was great. So Mom's Bible study group came for lunch today at school. They had their little Christmas luncheon. And anyway, so that was good. We cooked and all of that for them. Mm-hmm. All the little old ladies, we loved them.
Oh, I'm sure they loved y'all too. Good grief.
And then tomorrow we're making, for tomorrow and Wednesday, we're making Christmas cookies and candy.
You're basically an elf.
I am an elf.
I mean, basically. And I wasn't meaning anything about your height. I was just meaning about your activities.
There was a meme that came out on, you know, I don't know, Facebook or Instagram or something. And it said, it's that time of year again. Anyone under 5'3", it is now time to report to the North Pole.
I saw
that. And I sent that to Wes and our superintendent. So the superintendent and the principal, I sent it to them. I said, I've been called to active duty. I'm going to need some time off.
Yeah, I've been called up from out of reserves, and Santa needs me. I got to go.
I got to go. I have a choice.
I love it. Yes.
They laughed. I don't know why they didn't take me.
How dare they? Well, when they get a lump of coal, they're going to
get a lump of coal. Yeah.
They're going to know why. Oh my gosh. Yes. That is amazing. I love that. We did go on Saturday. Then we went to there's a big fundraising gala thing, O Night Divine, which I think I've maybe talked about before, but it's the Pujols Family Foundation. It's their big once a year fundraising gala. And so my dad always invites us to come, which is so sweet and wonderful. And he has a table. And so we had to get dressed up and, you know, all that good stuff and go to the Ritz-Carlton and people watch. And Tim was just in heaven because he was in the lobby for a while Dad and I went up to the VIP reception.
Yes, you're very VIP.
What? I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea. I don't know anybody. I got introduced to shook hands with the manager of the Cardinals. I'm like, hi.
Hey.
It didn't register until people were saying, and I'm like, anyway, so I'm an idiot. I'm also met some big MLB broadcaster guy. Yeah. And I'm like, I have to apologize. I'm not familiar with you because I'm a college football girl. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he's like, who you want? Indiana, Ohio, Georgia? And we have got to talking about that. So I felt a little bit better. And then I talked to his wife, who was really delightful the rest of the time. Anyway, I digress. So we had to get dressed up for that, which was fun. But I, of course, I don't know if this happens to you. I had a whole outfit planned, and literally like about 5 minutes before we had to leave, I changed the whole thing. I was nope.
Yeah.
What in the world?
Don't know. You weren't feeling it.
I wasn't feeling it. It felt like frumpy, and I don't know. I just wasn't feeling it. So that was that.
Speaking of college football, Mississippi State got a bowl game.
And which of them is it? It's the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
No, and I meant to say something to Wes today. Wes, y'all, Wes Wilkerson, my principal, is a huge Duke's mayonnaise fan. As a matter of fact, he will not let me make his macaroni and cheese has mayonnaise in it, but it has to be Duke's.
Look, Duke's the best. It's the best. So I'm a firm believer. I'm a firm fan. So when I saw that State is in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, I just felt that all was right in the world.
It was all right. Well, I'm going to say a bad word here because Caleb texted me. I'm busy doing stuff, and I get this text from Caleb and said, Mississippi State got a bowl game. And I replied back, how the hell did that happen? I'm serious.
Beep. Well, which that's a great question, and that's the question of the hour, which brings us to the conversation I wanted to have a little bit after, of course, congratulating the Bulldogs on making the Duke's Mayo Bowl game. But a lot of teams are declining invitations to the bowl games.
Yes.
They're just going, my whole feed was full of like five or six teams that declined the Birmingham Bowl. You know, they're just declining. They're just like, nope.
Again, this goes back to what we talked about last week. Coaching turnovers, coaching changes. There's a lot of coaching.
That's another issue.
Coaching changes. There's, you know, players who don't want to play because they may get drafted. There's just a lot of changes going into portals, going into all this stuff. And so
it's so fascinating. I really think that, you know, somehow this is gonna, I don't know. There's changes clearly coming in college football. I mean, there's been some changes, but I think it's really hitting a cultural like moment of these changes have been coming, but now we're kind of, and 2020, you know, let's be honest, it rocked everything into a whole nother with extra eligibility, and everything has been a little bit crazy. But it's kind of like, I think at some point here, you know, I hope they kind of read the tea leaves and go, you know, this is not, they're really ruining college football. I'm just going to come out and say it.
They are 100%. Even some of the rule changes, you know, things that weren't really penalties before, now they're penalties. And I'm not talking about, I mean,
you're not talking about extreme targeting and things that are protecting
extreme, no. Yeah. Extreme targeting. Yeah. But, you know, you can make a move or even, you know, you dip your head and not like intentional, you know,
yes,
hitting
of course
around the head, but you're running and your head tips a little bit and boom, it's targeting. Or, you know, I mean, just things that, you know, you're running and you can't stop. And
that's a lot of them.
You know, and
you're like, here, take your 200 plus pounds of momentum going full speed and just stop on a dime.
It's like, you know, I mean, things that would not have been called years ago. Now I don't know. So I think there's a lot of changes that need to be undone.
Yeah.
That's
one thing. Again, I understand, you know, they are needing to protect because they are finding a lot of issues with play, you know, the targeting penalties as much for the
with the concussion
one who gets the penalty as because that you can be done. You could really wreck yourself. But you know, it's just all this and I don't mean to be down. I mean, you know, we love it, we enjoy it, but it's just the, you know, the whole college football. But again, it's just it's clearly not about, and I don't even think it's about the players. I mean, a lot of these players, like the bowl game was going to be their last senior. That was going to be their last game. Yeah. Like, what about all the seniors that maybe they don't care? You know, I don't know, but I feel like the families and the seniors and you get three more weeks of team time and development for the next year. It's like, I heard someone say, they were like, no, we're already on into our preseason prep for 2026. I'm like, but we're not done with the season. I mean, we are, the regular season is done. But it's like they either need to get rid of the, you know, and that would be kind of a shame. Now, I do admit there's a lot of bowl games. It can be, you know.
And we need to go back on that too. We need to cut back.
There's a lot. And it's fun when, you know, the teams, and especially now with the you know, the way the playoffs are, which we all wanted. I mean, I wanted a 12-team. I wanted a playoff thing because the bowls were not, you know, it wasn't effectively showing like the best team. It wasn't like Super Bowl type of tournament, which it's really, I love that there's a tournament. I'm not mad about that at all. Yeah. But how they get in there and who gets in there and, you know, and coaches and teams, you know, getting butt hurt because they didn't get in. So now they're like, I'm not going to do the bowl game. I'm like, well, you know, I guess you cannot do that. But your seniors, your players, your development that continues, your fans, your alumni and stuff, again, that might be interested.
Follow the money.
I know. But I'm telling you, they're screwing it up. Yeah. They're messing it up. We don't have, I heard someone say, I don't know who this was. Doesn't matter. But, you know, they're like, we don't have college, you know, it's minor league football.
Yeah.
It's not amateur, you know, unprofessional. It is minor league that, you know, is prepping. And I totally get that. I mean, again, I understand, but somehow all these years and decades, before now, somehow we've managed to get great classes of draftees into the NFL. I mean, I don't, in fact, they might've even been a little more resilient, dare I say.
Yes.
And maybe not so, you know, I don't know. That's my two cents. But I am excited. Because that was one of our little goals. So I was like, man, if we could make a bowl game this year, like if you could have a winning season, you know, a good season and make a bowl game, that would be just such a, improvement. So I'm real proud of them, and it's the Duke Mayo Bowl. So what more could you want?
That's right. The Duke Mayo Bowl.
That just was appropriate, man.
Yes. Yeah.
I forgot to tell you the other day, just wanted to share with you my anniversary morning. So last week before then, we all got into Thanksgiving and the world, just our anniversaries around Thanksgiving. So, which is very fun. But anyway, it was Wednesday. It was Tim and my 31st anniversary. Yay, us. And Tim came in. He stayed home that day and worked from home. So he came in. He brought me a tray with my coffee and my cream. And that was, you know, really all I need. I don't need a whole breakfast in bed situation, but he brought me my nice coffee and then he went away for a little bit and then he comes back in and he's got this deer skull and antlers that he's mounted on this thing, and he comes in to show me this deer skull that he bought this mount for. And he's showing me his deer skull and I'm like, that is cool. And he showed me the mount and it really is, but he came in and then he went away and he did some other stuff. And then he comes in a little while later and he's got a big old like hunting, like camo coat jacket on. And he's like, I was like, oh, that's a nice coat. Cause it was nice, renew, you know, and all that. I said, that's a nice coat. He said, it was Uncle Roger's, you know, and gave me this. So it's this nice camo. I'm like, that's really great. And he's like, I know, I really like it. I think I'm going to wear it to Branson. And he said, it's going to be cold and it might snow in Branson. So I think I'm going to wear this coat. And I said, well, what kind of camo? Cause I was looking at it and I'm like, it's not mossy oak. And anyway, and I said, that looks like cattails or ducks. He's like, yeah, it's like for pheasant and duck. It's got, you know, for if you're in by the ponds or in the cornfield, and I'm going to wear it to Branson cause it's going to be cold. And I said, no, you're not. And he said, well, why not? It's going to be cold. I don't have a coat. This is a great coat. I said, that is a great coat, honey. I said, but we're not going to be in a cornfield.
You might be.
We're not going to be by a duck pond.
Anything can happen in Branson.
So I am saying no to you wearing your camo coat to a nice trip to Branson. So I made him go out and buy a new coat. So he did that. But that was my little anniversary morning show and tell, was deer skulls and camo jackets. Then he thought he was going to be wearing that to our nice dinner out. Like, we went to a nice restaurant. You're gonna wear that cattail camo coat? Oh my gosh. It would have been a sight. No one would have probably blinked an eye, but I'm trying to, you know, let's be appropriate.
So 31 years and she's still working on it, guys.
Still forever. So happy.
Tell you what Clark Griswold Shank did yesterday.
I've heard tell, but please.
So, you know, last week share. We talked about that he went on accidentally on live TV.
Yeah.
All over West Tennessee. And then yesterday he was out, or Saturday he was out skimming the, getting the leaves off of the tarp over the pool. And, you know, he's very confident. He knows where the lines of the pool are.
Oh,
and
God.
He did not know where the lines of the pool were and fell into the pool.
Which I cannot even imagine the racket.
Oh, you should have heard the hollering. I was in the front of the house and I heard all this. I mean, I don't know what was going on.
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
Enough that I knew something bad was happened. And then by the time I got out there, he's pulling himself up out of the pool. And
he could have with that tarp. I'd be really scared you could get
tangled up in
like
it.
Like wrapped up or under it and it gets over top of you. And luckily he must have been in the shallow. I don't know.
The shallow. Yeah,
he was. That made me nervous. Tangled.
Yeah.
So. Good Lord.
Yeah. Full clothes on, cell phone in his pocket, billfold in his pocket, headphones, all of it.
Just fell right in the pool.
Right
through the. It's not funny, but it's sort of is.
Where it is Clark Griswold.
I swear. Why don't y'all get a Ring camera on the back? I don't need a camera on the back.
On the front. We have one on the front. And Ron was, a couple of years ago, was picking up greenery around the door. And so you can see him on the ladder, you know, hanging this up. And all of a sudden, you see him fall off the ladder and hit the ground and go, oh.
You do, you guys. It's the greatest. Between that and him falling down the piano stairs at the thing, I just...
Y'all, we're at Ripley's, believe it or not, and Ron is on the stairs that plays the piano. I don't know if y'all know what this is, but each step is a key for a piano, so you can kind of go back and forth and play a song. If
you kind of can.
Jumping around the steps.
Yeah.
And Ron does it until he misses a step and he falls down.
He's rolling down the steps. It just goes...
with the keys, and then when he hits the bottom platform, he goes,
oh. And his hand, he's around the corner hanging on the rail. He's like gone around the corner, and then there's a boom. It's the best thing ever. Joni will just randomly send it to me just because she knows it.
It comes up in my memories from time
to
time.
Yeah, it makes me so happy. Oh, yeah, and the one off the ladder, that is a really good one too.
Oof.
I'm sorry, Ron. Oof. I'm sorry, but I'm glad he's not hurt, because then we couldn't laugh as publicly about it. But anyway.
Hey, can we talk about Advent for a minute?
Yes, please. I am ready. I'm all in the Advent spirit.
We are in the middle of Advent. Last week, the week was, now there are two themes, and it depends on what your church does, but last week was hope. It is also the prophecy candle.
Mm-hmm.
And then this week we are in peace, and it is the Bethlehem candle. If your church does.
Yeah. My church growing up, we did the prophecy, Bethlehem, shepherds, angels. But then when I got to be an adult, it was the hope, peace, and et cetera. So,
and then this third Sunday is joy or the shepherd's candle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last week is love or the angel's candle.
Mm-hmm.
So today I'm doing my Advent devotion, and it is on John the Baptist. And I sent Holly a text this morning, and I said, all I can see is our friend JVB's old dog, Grits. And Boogie had made some sort of ragtag fur coat.
It was rabbit.
It was rabbit fur.
He had ordered or bought this rabbit fur.
And I thought he'd hunted it.
Maybe he had. I don't know.
But he sewed pieces together, y'all. And Grizz was at least 115 years old at this point. And he puts this fur on this dog, this rabbit fur that's, you know, it's made by Boogie.
Yeah.
And He comes, here comes Grizz, clickety clack, and barely able to move across the floor. And by this point, his eyes are kind of wonky and he's got underbite.
He got a bite or his teeth to go.
And Holly looked at me and said, "That's the most John the Baptist thing I've ever seen."
I said, "Look, it's John the Baptist."
I lost it.
The coat had kind of slid off to the side a little bit.
Yes.
I go, "John, what is that?" I thought a rabbit had attacked Grizz and I didn't know what to think. He said, "That's his coat. He gets cold. He's little. He gets cold. I live in Iowa." I'm like, "I know, but
anyway," so I'm trying to do this John the Baptist devo, which was very good this morning, and on, you know, repentance and, you know, all of this. But all I can see as I'm reading this is this dog just, you know, arthritically walking through the kitchen with this.
Just stopping and staring up at us with his little cloudy eye and his teeth and the rabbit coat sliding off. Repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.
It is.
Well, I told you that Grizz was giving you a word of prophecy from beyond the grave.
Yes, repent. He was.
You should feel very. I think the Lord has some good things for you in that. So.
Oh my goodness!
Sorry,
you thought I was going to do serious Advent. I can't.
We never know, you guys. We never know. But on that note, I will do a little bit of a serious Advent. See, we're reverse rolling. So I just want to share this week at church again, peace and week of Advent and all that. And the church we've been going to did, the choir did one of my absolute favorite choral pieces of all time. It's probably my top five. And it's called "Even So, Lord Jesus, Quickly Come," and it's by Paul Manns. And I believe his wife, Ruth, adapted the words and did the words, but it's one of the most absolutely stunningly beautiful choral pieces out there. And I will put a link, in the notes to one, you just so you can hear it. But the words, there's just four really simple stanzas. And the last one is just gets me every time. And it's an adaptation from Revelation 22, but I'll just read really quickly the four stanzas. They're short. It says, "Peace be to you and grace from him who freed us from our sins, who loved us all and shed his blood that we might saved be. Sing holy, holy to the Lord Almighty God, who was and is and is to come. Sing holy, holy Lord. Rejoice in heaven, all ye that dwell therein. Rejoice on earth, ye saints below. For Christ is coming soon. For Christ is coming soon. Even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come, and night shall be no more. They need no light, nor lamp, nor sun, for Christ will be their all." And it's just
that, you know,
waiting.
Christmas gets so... it can get so hectic and it can get so much, you know, it just too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's very important for us to remember at this time, especially when we start to get overwhelmed, that we are set free because of Christmas.
That's
we
right.
We are set free because God incarnate come, you know, And I think it's very easy for all of us to lose focus and get caught up in all the things that the world has made Christmas. And I think it's so, so dire important, either, you know, in those quiet times that we, you know, have, whether it's in the morning when nobody's up, when it's right before bed, or if you've got a time in the afternoon, just to really dwell on that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so interesting because we crave it, and the interesting thing is that you can absolutely create that for yourself. Again, as you're saying, Joni, you know, you feel hectic, and we all, you know, feel that way different times to times. But again, my heart is always thinking of those younger mamas or mamas with younger kids, just because, you know, it's such a mix of emotions, and it's so exciting. And you're kind of in those, quote, golden years of kids and the magic and the teaching them and instilling in them and doing the Advent devotional and trying to light the candle and trying to get the elf moved or whatever, you know, whatever you're doing. And it is a lot, but it's important. My heart is always kind of goes back to that time and, you know, remembers times when, again, as you said, just if you take a minute, whether it's late at night or whether it's, you know, lighting that candle early in the morning and, listening to a piece of music. If you're not in church or haven't been in a while, or even if you are and you go to your one, it's fun to go to a different church. All these services right now, if you need that Christmas moment,
quiet, that
go find a church in your town or your city. It might be a Catholic church. It might be Episcopal. It might be, another denomination. We have a beautiful basilica here that, I mean, I could go sit in and, you know, I'm sure there's things going on. Whether it's a service or a special performance, or we like to go to a Lessons and Carols or an Evensong with a Anglican or Episcopal. And it's just a time where you can go and sometimes this is going to, I don't know, maybe sound kind of not, you know, very intuitive, but you know, you can be so involved. I'm not encouraging anyone to not go to your church's things, but you can be so involved and entwined in your own that it's hard to just be in that moment.
You know, when you said a few minutes ago, all I had to do was show up.
Yeah.
At these places, I wasn't into that because I am so entwined.
Exactly. And all of us, you know, have had that, like when you're doing all the things and you're in the choir and you're doing this, you can't go. So go somewhere else. Some places have afternoons, some places have, you know, whatever it is. And go somewhere where no one knows you or no one, you know, expects you to do anything, or you don't need to help in the nursery, or you don't need to bring cookies, and you just go and sit in that peace. And it is magical. It really is. Yeah. So,
you know, I'm reminded, I may have told this on here before, I don't know, but John Garrett was little. My kids were little. John Garrett was really little. Mm-hmm. And we went down to our church's, I guess it was maybe our Christmas Eve service, and the youth had a live nativity. And so we walked up front, you know, and there they are, Mary and Joseph and, you know, the little baby doll, Jesus, in the manger, you know, and all the characters there. And we went and sat down in our pew, and it came time for the service to start. And John Garrett's standing up. Well, to him, as a child, as a young child, this is not a little plastic baby doll, Jesus. It's right. The real deal.
Yeah, there's a baby.
And so the youth come down off the stage, off the, you know, altar, and they're coming down to, you know, go sit with their families. And he went in a panic. He started running out the aisle. I had to catch him and grab him. And he was frantic. They left baby Jesus behind. They left baby Jesus behind. And I'm going to tell you, you know, and it was cute. It was sweet. And I sat down in my pew and I thought, is it me? Is it me? Am I the one that left baby Jesus behind? Because I'm in the sheer throes of busyness.
Yes, we've had to worry about what shoes our kids need to put on with the right pants, and their pants are too short now because they just fit them last week. So we have a lot of important things that we had to worry about.
Yes, so it was a lot. Anyway, but then, you know, and also we talk about Silver Dollar City all the time. And when we go, what's our favorite ride?
The train.
A train. What is everybody's favorite ride at Christmas?
The train.
The train.
The train.
That line is so long. Y'all, Silver Dollar City has what, 6 million lights or more? Is that right?
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Everything's covered.
It is spectacular.
It is.
See, they have plays going. They have, and good things, you know, Christmas Carol, and they do a good job with that. They, you know, There are things all over.
Gifts to buy, Christmas store.
Oh, rides to ride, you know. But the train line is the longest, and it's the longest because you go back and there sits little grandpa and all the lights go out and it's calm and it's quiet and he quotes the Christmas story to you.
Yep.
And like you said, people crave it.
We crave it.
Crave it. We want out of the hoopla.
We need it very badly. What's everyone's favorite part of the Christmas Eve service if your church does this? What's the favorite big kind of the finale of most Christmas Eve services, Jones?
The lighting. The silent night.
Silent night in the candles. Why? Why is that magical? Why do all of us love it? Why does it give you chills? Why the whole congregation singing, all the lights are down, you're all lighting these candles. Those are those moments of mystery and contemplation and tying to ancient things that we still, as people, we need and we crave. And I think we just need to continue to feed that as in our souls. That's soul stuff that you can't get from lights and you can't get from presents and you can't even get it from an apple dumpling with cinnamon ice cream. And that's saying a lot because you can get a lot from that. That brings a lot of joy. But, those are those things and those moments that they are meaningful and memorable for a reason, you know, because they really touch and feed our souls. So, yeah, I love it. I love it. That's good. It makes me
warm and gooey inside.
It does. It makes me warm and gooey, just like an apple dumpling. I'm obsessed. Apparently, I really need an apple dumpling.
You need to get an apple dumpling.
I know. I'm not going to get one. That's awesome. That's such good. Yeah, it's just good stuff. And as you get older and your kids are gone, it is a different transition, but it's really beautiful for things like this because we really can. You can kind of get back to that quiet, that peace, and then you get together and it's all wonderful and, you know, fantastic, but, you know, it's just not at the same level. You're not having to pick out their shoe. I mean, I might like to from time to time, Hudson Trotter. I might enjoy picking out your shoes, but I don't. Don't even get me started. But, you know, you can just kind of, you know, you have the time to do more of those things. So, it's exciting. It's a good season. I have my Grinch shirt on, but you know, things turn out good. He gets the spirit of Christmas and his heart grows three sizes.
That's
bigger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So anyway. Oh, okay. I do have one more little thing, and really that was such a good thing to end on. Maybe I should just, it doesn't really matter, but this is kind of, maybe it sort of ties in a titch and I won't go on and on about it, but just a trend that I would like us to let go of, a trend that I would challenge us all just to kind of get off that bus, get off that train. And it probably picked up more again, kind of in the 2020 and understandably so. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's just like, and this is again, probably the real moral of the story is we could just stay off social media and then we won't have to worry about any of this. But should you be on it, it tends to be, you know, this time of year, of course, we're getting ready to be the new year. We're getting ready to, you know, and that's very exciting and all that good stuff. But I just notice a trend of like every year, it's like people start talking it just so bad about the year that we've had. You know, and especially, I will say, I mean, especially this year, 2025, wasn't it? But especially if it's an election year. And I get that because people are just like, we're all done. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I just see this trend of like, you know, thank God, you know, this year's almost over. This year was so hard, you know, this year was such a, you know, and I'm not, some people have had some very, very tragic things happen. So for some families, this has been a very tragic year. And I'm not talking about that. I'm just kind of talking about the trend of talking bad about the last year. It bothers me just because I'm like, the way you think about something and the way you talk about it and think about it is the reality that you're in. So did bad things happen this year? Did hard things happen? Yeah, I'm sure they did to all of us.
I have a big note on my computer at work that says, choose joy. Because it is, bad stuff happens, but it's how you deal with it.
What you choose. Right. And I get end of the year kind of like, you know, and it's fun. It's very fun to look forward to the new year. But I have a little news break for everyone and for myself. If you're miserable this year and you're looking at things badly and this year, it ain't going to change next year.
January 1 is not a magic.
It ain't going to be different if you're not different. Right. So, and that's not meant to be ugly. It's just kind of, and I think we all just get, I know we're tired. The busy season comes, but I just want to see, I hope that trend of kind of, we get near the end of the year and it's just dogging the year 2025. Oh, you know, what a terrible year. Like, can't get out of this year fast enough. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And again, I'm not talking about real traumas and real tragedies. I am not that your whole year can suck from day. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about like the general life, you know, and that we look at it. And instead I want to challenge, like, again, look back with gratitude, look back at the good, find the good, because that is what, if you're not looking for it, you will not find it. So find it, remember it.
It's what rewires your brain.
It does. It really, and you will be so much happier. Let's go out of this year being grateful. Let's go out of this year being grateful for 2025. Everything it taught us, the hard, the good, the falling in the pool like an idiot. I'm really actually pretty grateful for that. But
everyone,
you know,
that our church is too.
Huh?
Everyone that our church is too.
Yes, I'm sure they are. I'm sure the whole town of Savannah is very happy. But you know, like, let's leave this year with gratitude of what this year was. Again, the good, the bad, the ugly, the learned, the successes you had, the growth you had, the changes that happened. Like, just embrace it and be glad for it. Be excited for the next year. But let's not leave with an ungracious attitude towards our past self this year, our past life that we lived, because that was a year you lived. And if you end up every year going, well, that year sucked, then your life is full of
suckiness.
That's exactly right, Joni. then your life sucked.
Now I'm going to get in trouble with my mom.
You are. Your mom's going to slap you. She can't reach me because I'm all the way here, but she's going to smack you good. Anyway.
Up to St. Louis and smack you.
Come up here and hide. Oh my goodness. It's just a great time of year. I told you, Contemplative Holly is here. Are we ready for your recipe? Last year you did a good one. How was that? How was your secret sister thing?
It was great.
It was a good bash. The meatballs were a big success.
They were a big success. Mm-hmm. And I came home. I had a few left. And Ron about ate. He kept saying every time he ate one, he said, "This is outstanding. This is outstanding." It was so simple.
Y'all go back and look. Last week's recipe is simple and easy, but it's a winner. All right, what you got for us this week?
Well, I have a recipe and I have a story. So this week is rum cake.
Oh,
wow. My neighbor, Miss Flo, used to make my mother a rum cake every year. Now, my mother does not drink, but she has said, if I was ever going to be an alcoholic, it would be on rum.
Okay. Okay.
My mother loves rum cake, rum balls, whatever.
That's her thing. Okay.
Miss Flo made her yearly rum cake for my mother at Christmas, you know, always Christmas time. And I came home from college with my dog Chief, who was an English Shepherd. And I don't know where we were, but the dog jumped up on the counter and ate the rum cake.
Oh no, Chief.
And Dottie Hutchinson had an afterlife of it.
Had a come apart.
No, my mother is very stoic.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see her fall apart. I don't see her overjoyed. She's very stoic. But I am telling you that the woman had a come apart.
She did. She was not stoic on that day.
So I am going to make my mother a rum cake for Christmas.
Oh, I think that's good.
Yeah. All right. So for your cake, you need a cup of chopped pecans. You need a box of yellow cake mix, a package of Jell-O vanilla instant pudding mix, 4 eggs, half a cup of water, half a cup of canola oil, and half a cup of dark rum. And that's going to be your cake. If your cake mix already has pudding in it, like some of them do, you can omit your pudding, but
okay.
And then use like 3 eggs instead of 4. But anyway, so preheat your oven to 325. You're going to grease and flour your bundt. Say it.
Bundt? It's a bundt.
It's a bundt.
There's a hole in it. Okay, sorry.
Your bundt pan. And you are going to sprinkle your pecans all over the bottom of the pan.
Oh, man, this is going to be good.
Before you pour the cake mix in.
Okay.
Pecans on the bottom.
Gotcha.
And then you mix all of your cake ingredients together. Pour that over your pecans, and you're going to bake it for 50 minutes. Cool it, and then invert it onto a serving plate. Prick your top and the sides of it. Just get a little toothpick and prick all that.
This is going to get good. This is going good right here.
And then you're going to pour the glaze over it. And here's your glaze. Is you have a stick of butter, a 1/4 a cup of water, a cup of sugar, and another 1/2 cup of rum.
There it is. There it is.
Not cooked out.
That's what we're talking about, kids. Poor Chief. Was he okay? Anyway, carry on.
Anyway, yeah. You were going to melt your butter in the saucepan, stir in your water and sugar, boil it for 5 minutes, stirring that constantly, and then you remove it from your heat and pour in the rum. Now, I am pretty sure that Miss Flo used to pour some rum over the cake before she put the glaze.
Just soak it in there with some rum. Yeah. Yeah. You
probably even do that before, while it's in the bundt pan.
While it's in the bundt. Mm-hmm.
Yes. While it's in the bundt pan. Just prick that bottom part and just put some.
If you wanted to do that, Ron would like that because Ron Shank loves some rum.
Yes, yes. And Caleb, thank you, Dr. Von Ricky, for introducing the Diplomatico to you.
Don't use that in the cake. Oh my gosh, you'd be in so much trouble. Use the good sipping rum in your rum cake.
Yes. So that's the recipe.
That sounds amazing. Rum is not my favorite, but... like it's okay, but in something like that, like a rum cake, like that, I do enjoy. I do like that, or like a good rum ball. Those are really very, very, very tasty. So excellent. That sounds good. Are you ready for your top three?
Top three.
Kinda.
Okay. All of a sudden, I got nervous. I'm like looking at you, and I'm like, "It's yours, right?"
Yeah, okay. It is. It's mine. It's okay. Mine. Okay, so I have a 3-compartment soup warmer. They're like little crock pots. It's all in one unit. But or you could do dips in it because they're small, you know, bowls, but they're like crock pots. And so it'll keep whatever warm while you've got all this company.
Yes, and there's lids and
Lids and ladles, yes. Yes.
That's genius.
It is. It really
That's
is.
Genius. Yep.
And my next one, I have found a woman, actually, I didn't find her, it just kind of came up on my Facebook, a Karen Morgan comedy. And I haven't listened to all of her comedy, but she has one thing that I find very humorous. And you can look it up on Facebook.
Okay.
But she has taken an old cooking show from maybe the 60s or the 70s, and she plays it. And she puts voice to it.
Oh, no.
And it is hilarious.
I bet it is.
I mean, I am crying, laughing at stuff. She has a little helper that she calls Lisa. You know, I don't know who Lisa, you know. But she's always talking about it. She said, y'all look at the back of Lisa's hair. It looks awful. This is not the real words of this, you know, whatever's going on the cooking show. But she's muted whatever's being said. And she's
doing voiceover comedy.
Oh
my gosh. That does that. What's her name again?
Karen Morgan.
Okay.
Comedy.
All right. I'm sure you'll link it, but still, I just wanted to see. Oh my gosh. That sounds hilarious.
It is. And my third one, I'm just going to tell you from being sick.
Oh, this sounds great.
No, is Ricola honey herb cough drops.
They're good.
They're good.
They're good. And they don't taste bad. Because like when you have to do a lot of cough drops, you get it almost like they make you feel sick.
My friend Beverly gave Ron a, I didn't have a cough drop in my purse. She said, I've got one. And she gave him a Halls.
Like Mentholyptus. Did I almost burn a hole in his face?
Yes. You should have heard him. I may get him on here next week to talk about his. We were crying, laughing. He was like, oh.
It wasn't the honey herb Ricola.
Not the Ricola.
They are the best. The Ricola ones are the best. I'm not going to lie. They have a really good cherry one too, but that honey herb lemon, that Alpine, whatever, is very good. Yes. I must agree.
Yeah. Cough drops. That's my top three right there.
Oh, wow. That's stunning. This is just riveting content.
Here to help you. Look, we're coming into cold and flu season. You're going to need to know the Ricola.
You're going to need a good cough drop recommendation. I fully agree with that. So I'm just partly mocking you.
Here to help.
Oh my goodness. Well, guys, it's been another week now. You've wasted another hour or so of your time, listening to us, but hopefully it brought you some joy and some peace. And we wish you a very wonderful week here of Advent and this next week. So we'll talk to you next time. Until
peace,
then.
Peace out.
What'd you say? Peace out.
Peace out.
Peace out. Guys,
Advent right there.
Yes. Someone's been in the rum cake already, I think, Joni.
Amaretto.
Okay. We will talk to you later. Goodbye, Pellet.
See you, Patch.
You fast.
Well, I was waiting on you.
I know. I'm sorry. I got something in my eye. I was about to head up when you texted. Okay, I can't hear. Let me see if I can fix that. Okay, something in my eye. I can't hear. I can't see.
You're decrepit. You're like Grizz.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Poor Grizz. He was speaking to you from beyond the grave, honey. He was telling you to repent, though, so I feel like you need to go to the Lord about that.
Yeah, that's all I could see was that old dog.
You couldn't even take John the Baptist seriously anymore.
Oh, it was a good thing, too. It was a good message.
Oh, my goodness.